Well, I guess I'll take it from my experience. Yeah, I'll pick them back up. We still got a lot of things to do, but anyways, we're the Sikh Bursar. We're missionaries to Ghana, West Africa. Been there 11 years, and we're going back for our fourth term. We're excited for what the Lord has done, and very excited. And then we're excited to see what the Lord will do, and starting other church plants and perspective areas of our Bible studies. And we thank the Lord for what He has done. This evening, I want to, preacher, when do you want me to be finished?
When you're done.
Okay. I want to preach on something that I haven't preached on in a long time. When I first started deputation, I preached this, and going on deputation as a missionary, it's just as a ministry as going to Africa. And when I put my mindset into that, I'm not going to raise support. That's what I'm doing. But that's not the purpose. It's just like when we have jobs to do, but the Lord wants us to do them. They really shouldn't be counted as jobs, you know, because we have a different attitude about them. But this message is a special message that has blessed a lot of people. And so I want to preach it not because I am who I am, but because the Lord is who He is. And so we want to preach that. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. And we're going to read verse 9 through verse 25. It's kind of extensive, but I want to read that. And kind of remember this morning, I preached over here in Acts chapter 26, and we was preaching about the Apostle Paul giving defense for what he's doing. And he's thanked King Agrippa for the king giving him a chance to speak for himself. And so now the Bible tells us, and we're gonna stand here if you don't mind. But in verse 9, let's start reading in verse 9, and we'll go through to verse 25. But the Bible says here, after it was determined to them for him to be sailing to Rome, because remember he appealed to Caesar. Okay, so now he's going to Caesar, and so he's taking the ship with the other prisoners, and they're going. During the winter season, during the season where things start changing, so it gets cold, and it's not commodious, as the Bible says, for them to travel, but they do. In verse 9, the Bible says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, and the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phineas and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Eutychus, I'm not saying that right, but you know it. And verse 15 says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not to have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me.'" Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for the passage. It's a beautiful passage. It's a passage which we can learn much from one verse. But we'll go through many verses and speak about the principles and the truths that we need to learn and look at. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us as Christians and to live the way that the Lord would have us to live. And that's by faith. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day, for this evening, and for this church. Pray that you'd have your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I've entitled this, "The Voyage of Life." The Voyage of Life. Some people, when they take boat rides, we have Lake Erie. And it really don't seem like a lake oftentimes. When you get on that lake, you really can't see to the other side. And the waves, you're on the ferry. You take the car on the ferry. And sometimes you just kind of start thinking too much. When you're thinking too much, then it starts getting to your stomach. And then you just got to go sit down somewhere. But here I can imagine here this story. I've entitled "The Voyage of Life." And the voyage of life is like that. There's ups and downs. There's places where you say, "I don't know if we're going to make it or not." But I know this is, if we're Christians, this is the Lord's leadership. But here is some valuable things that Paul has mentioned. He's a prisoner. And the first thing that I find in the voyage of life is we need to listen to God's spokesman. That's important. But I look at here at verse 11 and verse 9, the Bible says that Paul says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed." I would imagine this somewhere around October when things are deciding to go from winter or summer or fall to winter. And you know how the wind is churning. And you know, when we was doing our deputation, we was not the October time, but also in the February time, when you're in Illinois and you're going south and north, I think it's on 57. Wow, the wind is so strong. And I think we had a mini full-size van, if that makes any sense. It's not what we drive today. It's not the minivans. That's what I'm trying to get at. But it was a full-size, full-looking van, but it was cut down. So it was a short, full-size van. And it had a six-cylinder in it. And I pushed that thing. Well, Sunday morning, I was to be in Fort up at the top of Illinois, and well, not the top, but before you get to Chicago, and I was driving from, I think it was Peoria, somewhere around there, and it took us quite a while to get to where I was going. So Saturday, I did that Saturday night, and got to the preacher's house late, he still supported us. He took us on, so I thought, man, that's great. And so, but then I had a meeting that Sunday night, and it was back down towards Peoria. So I had to take that road again. And the wind was blowing and commodious. I mean, it was bad. And when you got the wind blowing against a 6-cylinder full-size van that's loaded, it just... So I'm pushing this thing and pushing this thing, and that 6-cylinder is cranking and cranking, and then my transmission decided to quit. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. Because the person I was speaking for was a pastor. He went on vacation. And this was in between church. And you know how many people take a Baptist nap during Sunday afternoon? And that's what happened. So when I went to call the church and said, we're stuck. I need some help. I had plenty of time, but nobody was there to listen to the call. And so I called them, and just talking about the voyages of life. Many things happen in our voyages of life, but one of the things here that we need to understand in our lives that are up and down, in our lives that have troubles to them and problems, man is born that way, isn't he? And so the Bible tells us here that we need to listen to God's spokesman. Here, the Apostle Paul said, look, hey, guys, I don't think it's good for us to take this ride. This is the wrong time of year to go on this ship. But you know what? I imagine they probably did what most of us would do. I got a cartoon mind sometimes. Sometimes it's not cartoon. But you know those cartoons where they talk about the prison, they have prisoners and they have the striped shirts, white and black. It's like a referee, only white. and so when they talk about Paul, and I kind of mentioned maybe I don't know if Paul was wearing that or not, but that's kind of what I think of. And he's got a ball and chain there. He's a prisoner. And you know, and this prisoner is saying, I don't think we ought to take this ship ride. Don't you jump to conclusions? Don't you, your minds go say, well, this guy is trying to make an escape or something, or do something that's going to benefit him. He's a prisoner. The master of the ship said, it's fine. Who is Paul? Who's this man? What does he think he's doing? And so here, but Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said, I don't think it's a wise thing. He admonished them in verse 10. He said, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. And see, God's spokesman may not always be in a suit and a tie. I like suit and a tie. But in Africa, we don't wear the suit jacket. It's hot. We have short sleeve, nice looking shirts, and we button up and put the. We're not priests, but we put our ties on. But the short sleeve, they're dress shirts. They're fine. And so, but here, a lot of times we'll look at somebody and we'll say, "Man, he's a prisoner. I'm not going to listen to him." But I think it's very important, as we've looked in Titus or Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Paul tells Timothy, no, continue thou in the things that you have been taught. And I'm not saying it all right. But he said, knowing who taught you. The people on the ship didn't know who was speaking. They jumped to the conclusion, this is a prisoner. The master said, it's fine. But Paul was a man of God, and Paul knew the master, the true master. And the people did not follow Paul. The Bible says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, let me ask this question. We need, number one, in the voyage of life, we need to listen to God's spokesman, no matter his position. He may be the people in the ship, they listen to the master and the owner. Wouldn't you think that the owner knows what he's doing? The master knows what he's doing? But sometimes we need to, just because they're called president, it doesn't mean they know what they're doing. Amen. Well, amen. I'll say that too. But the truth is, we need to know who is speaking. In Ghana, we have a lot of religion, a lot of churches, but who's speaking is speaking lies, speaking falsehoods. But a lot of people, because they don't study, they don't get in the Word of God, they believe Him. And it kind of goes with the last days of the itching ears. And it kind of goes with the last days and the perilous times. False teachers. It is going with the last days. And I believe how the Bible says that He'll bring a great deception on. Yes, they will. He will. And I can see exactly how that's going to fit. Because the charismatic movement is so dominant, and they're very mystical, and they do all these sign gifts and these healings and things that people believe. People are already deceived. So much more the time as the time goes. Here's what I want to say. In life's voyage, we need to listen to God's spokesman. We don't need to look at the fact of his position and the fact, oh, he's the master or he's the owner of the ship. Maybe that would have something to do with our decision, but we need to look past that one and we need to see, hey, where is this guy coming from? Who is this person? And so God's spokesman needs to be listened to in life's voyage. Here, Paul is probably put on the back burner. Yeah, who is this guy? What is he talking about? But here, I also want to see, as we need to listen to God's spokesman, not only considering his position, but we need to listen to God's spokesman not considering the condition, no matter the condition. No matter the condition. Let's look over here. The Bible tells us that in verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter, and the more part advised to depart thence. It doesn't matter what the most or the majority says. It matters what's right. And so here, it was in verse 12, it says here, and because the haven was not commodious to winter, and the more part advised to depart. Okay, we need to leave. Thence also, if any means they might attain to Phineas, and they were to winter at Crete. They were there to winter, which is in the haven Crete, and lie toward the southwest and the northwest. You know what? It was convenient for them. It was convenient. It was suitable for them. It appeared to be fine. They went on based on, hey, today's not bad. We need to go now. But they know in their minds, and we know in our minds a lot of times, just because it looks nice doesn't mean we ought to go for it. Because we know what the end results will be or could be. We know what's dangerous. We know what's not easy to or right to go with. But it looks all right. It looks like we're not going to get caught. We do. We do get caught. Everybody else is doing it. But we're the ones at the end, and we get caught. And so here, the Bible tells us here, in life's voyage, we need to listen to God's spokesman. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and verse 5. Let's look at another passage here. Luke 5:5. These men are out fishing. In Luke chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 4, the Bible says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You know, in his situation, if he stopped there and said, Lord, we've done this already. We've been there. We're not going to do it anymore. That's not what we've been told. We've been told to listen to who we're being taught by. And we need to take him by faith. We need to take him by his word. You know what? The Bible says that he did. And the rest of this verse, the Bible says, we have taken nothing. We have my reason, Lord. We have plenty of good reason. But here's what he said that's going to be helpful to every one of us. Follow the Lord. The Bible says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will let down the net. What is he saying? Lord, this don't make sense. When I said we're going to Africa as missionaries, I mentioned it to my father-in-law. He said, why don't you just go to West Virginia? I said, well, that's not where we're supposed to be at. But you know what? It wasn't about convenience. It wasn't about the condition or how suitable it was. It was about what God said. And God said to do it, and so here's what the Bible says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know what? He obeyed, and he was blessed. He had multitudes of fish that he caught. He was there. He had that little thing that's on the boat that says, beep, 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 fish are here, fish are here. And it wasn't working, or it wasn't beeping. He put his net down and proved it. It wasn't there. But he did what God said, and then let the net down exactly probably where he was at. And he's a fisherman. He knows what he's doing. But to listen to God takes faith. The just shall live by faith. And he caught. He got the blessing. When we take and we listen to what God has for us, he loads our nets with the blessings. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. We need to listen to God's spokesman. No matter his position, no matter the condition, we need to listen to God's spokesman. No matter how popular he is or isn't, we need to listen to God's spokesman. We need to listen to God's spokesman, not being deceived either. Look at verse 13. The Bible says over in Acts 27:13, he says down here, and when the south wind blew softly, guess what they did? Supposing that they have obtained their purpose, they loosened their ship. They loosing thence, in verse 13, they sailed close by Crete. Hey, it's a soft tempest. We're all right. We're past the storm. No, you're not past the storm. Listen to God's spokesman, no matter if he's in prison or closed. Listen to him, because he knows what he's talking about. When the preacher says something and gives counsel, and a lot often my preacher used to say, hey, a lot of times people will come to get counsel, but all they really want to know is if you agree with them. But they're going to do what they want. Shame on you. That's not right. He's telling you something because there's principle in the Word of God, and it's going to help you. Listen, God told him to take care of the flock. And if he's your shepherd, that's what he's going to do. Listen to him. I understand that. But the Bible says you need to know who you're listening to. I understand there's a lot of people that are listening to false prophets and teachers. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what we know. What the Bible says and the preacher says, hey, this is where we need to go. And I'm going to show you something. We just take his counsel. Why? It's God's spokesman. God's spokesman. We need to listen. In life's voyage, we need to listen to God's spokesman. No matter avoiding our deceit and not being deceived by what appears to be, and it's really not. In verse 14, the Bible says, but not long after there arose a tempest. tempestuous wind. It's not long. Not long after. But some people are simple. And they pass on. Over in Proverbs, the Bible tells us to be wise. Don't be simple. Don't pass on. Go far from her corner. So there's many counsel. The Bible tells us in life's voyage, we need to listen to God's spokesman. The second thing that I find out here that I want us to turn and look at is in life's voyage, we need to be close to God. Let's look over here in verse 23. Verse 23, the Bible says in life's voyage, not only do we need to listen to God's spokesman, but we need to be close to God. In verse 23, the Bible says, "For there stood by me," Acts 27:23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." We need to be close to God because when we're close to God, we'll know God's thoughts. Look at over here in verse 10. The Bible says, and we're switching back and forth, but the Bible says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lady in the ship, but also to our own lives." How did he perceive that? Because he was with God. God gives us perception. Love this world says, don't judge. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, he that is spiritual judges all things. We better judge. When we go to Proverbs, the Bible says, young man, look, I've given you these words of wisdom for discretion and discernment to preserve your life. We must. So the Bible says that we need to be close to God. Why? Because God will know what God is saying. When we're close to God, we get in His Word. When we're close to God, we'll pray and we'll listen to Him in His still small voice. And He speaks. People want to say, oh, there's not a calling. Yes, there is. You just listen for it. I told my kids before they went to camp, I said, listen to God this week. Listen to what God wants. God speaks. Listen to God's in life's voice. Listen to God's spokesman. Number two, in life's voice, we need to be close to God because we'll know His thoughts. In verse 21, the Bible says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them." Listen, here's what happened. Paul's on the ship, and there's everybody here worrying and talking and everything. But you know what Paul did? He went over to that corner. And he got alone with God. It wasn't with all the people and trying to figure out what they're going to do. It was with God, him and God. They got alone. He had a close relationship with God. And he listened to God. And here's what he said. After a long abstinence, when you pray, we just don't say, Lord, thank you for this food, I'm done. We pray. Long abstinence. Seek Him while you may. The Bible tells us here that if we do that, we're close to God. We'll know His thoughts. That's a comfort. It's a comfort to know His thoughts. The Bible tells us, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." You know what he's saying? He's saying, as a pastor, folks, I told you. And you didn't listen. Sometimes maybe he's counseled and that young person didn't listen. And a few years later, they come back without their husband, and some kids, and wondering what they're going to do. And the pastor may not say, you should have listened to me. But that's what's going through his mind. I told you, and you didn't listen. Listen to God's spokesman. The Bible tells us that we need to, in life's always, be close to God. You'll know God's thoughts. You'll know the comfort that God wants to give you. The comfort is something that the world don't have. Here, the Bible tells us in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Listen, the world is in darkness. They don't have hope. But we have a lively hope. Amen. You're saved. We've got hope. You know what? Obama's going to make a mess. And he has made a mess. And it's going to get worse. But you know what? I know where I'm going. Yeah. I know who holds the future. Amen. I know where my destination is. Yeah. I'm concerned, very concerned. But I know the end. You know what? When it comes to Israel, you know what? Israel's at the end of the book.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Obama's not, but Israel is. America's not, but Israel is.
Amen.
Our hope is in the Lord. And so here the Bible tells us, be close to God in life's voyage because we'll know His thoughts. Be close to God because we have a lively hope. You know, when we're close to God, it just helps us to stay. Well, I mentioned the verse, 1 John 5:13. These things, the Word of God, these things have I written unto you. Who? That believe. Why did He write them to you? Because He wants you to be comforted. He wants you to know. When you know, you're comforted. You're at ease when you know. When you don't know, you're troubled.
Yes.
Aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
God has given us His Word. Why? We need to be close to Him. Why? So we can have that comfort. And so the Bible tells us here that we need to be close to Him in life's voyage because there's some things that will come into our lives that are rough. And there's circumstances that will come in our lives that we just, it's hard for us to deal with without God. We can't. Some people shoot themselves. Some people go AWOL. But we've got Christ, our firm foundation. The Bible tells us here, you'll know God's thoughts if we're close to Him. You'll have that hope. You'll be assured and you'll be comforted of that lively hope that we have as Christians. But here also, you'll be able to stand with God. You'll be able to stand on God's promises. Let's look at verse 25. The Bible said, and I like the verse in verse 23, it says, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Can you imagine Paul is saying, look, we are in a trouble. That's for sure. But it's only because you didn't listen. But you know what? Be of good cheer because I was with God last night and He told me something. He said, whom I'm of and whom I serve. That's a comfort to know where you're at in life. You say, well, I'm a Christian and I go to church. But we're not faithful and a lot of things we should be. Maybe it's reading God's Word. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's whatever God's speaking your heart about in spirituality. We're not there where we should be. You know what? But Paul was. And when he was faced with a trial, when he was faced with that part of the voyage in his life, he said, I know. I know who I serve. And I know who I'm of. That's a great assurance. But here in verse 25, the Bible says, let's read 24 and 25, says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought. God said this, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sat with thee. You know what? He's saying, Paul, don't worry. You're going to make it. This ship may not make it, but you're going to get to Caesar. Because that's what I said.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. So in our lives, and listen, there's a time where appointed unto a man wants to die. We understand that. But you know what? God's in control. And when He wants that to happen, it's going to happen. But it is not going to happen until he says it's going to happen. So if you're going through a circumstance in your life, understand, God knows where you're at. God's in control. So here the Bible tells us about how that He, if you're close to God, you'll be able to stand on God's promises. God promised Paul, you're going before Caesar. So Paul knew, this is not going to be the end. We're going to make it out of here somehow. And I guarantee you, in his life, if he's living it just like us, he didn't know how a lot of times. But he knew where the confidence was. Put it in the Lord. He said it's going to happen, so I'm going to get to it. I don't know how, but it's going to work. You know, when you're close to God, you'll not only know about God's thoughts, you'll not only know about the comfort and hope that He has for us as Christians, but when you're close to God, you'll stand on His promises. When you're close to God, you'll realize that He's got a purpose for you. In verse 24, He says, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." He's got a purpose. You know what the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he got a purpose. Every Christian here has a purpose. Amen. When we're close to God, we'll find that purpose. We'll find that purpose. One of the last things that I want to mention is over here in verse 35. After God, there's some principles here. Listen to God's spokesman in life's voyage. Number two, we need to be in life's voyage, be close to God. And number three, remember He made you to break you. He made you to break you. Wow. To break the broken can be used. Let's look at this. Number one, as we go in verse 31, let's read that. The Bible says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the church," the local church. I parallel a lot to the ship. "Ye cannot be saved." What's he talking about? He's talking about harm's way. When God gives us His words, And the church and the preacher tells us that when we belong to that local church, you know what? Stay in it. Why? Because it's going to help us through life. It's going to help us in our turmoils. It's going to help us in our circumstances. But often, too many times, people, "Hey, summer's here. It's time for me to go to Florida." There's nothing wrong with vacation. I understand that. But there's something wrong with not wanting to be at church and not being there. Just make it a conviction. You know what? Even if you don't want to do it for yourself, remember you've got kids. Do it for them. And listen, you say, "Well, I'm an old man." Sorry. But remember, your kids are still watching you. My parents, I think, in December, they'll be married 60 years, 59. And I look at them. I'm growing up. I'm my own person, I guess. But I look at them. Why? They did it. They made it through. Amen. That helps me. That helps me. And that helps you. So remember, parents, you're important. It doesn't matter what age you're at. The third thing is, in life's voyage, remember He made you to break you. In verse 35, I'm going to read this, and we'll start with verse 34. The Bible says, "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health." God's concerned about your health. "For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." Thank you, Dan. It's wonderful. But verse 35, the Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God, in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Listen, when you take a piece of bread, you can eat it. But when you take a loaf of bread, yes, you can take bites of it, but I mean, you can't share it, can you? It's not as usable until it's broken, until it's cut up. Then not just I can eat it, but everybody else in here can have some of it. You know what I'm saying? The broken is usable. When I was 16, I surrendered to preach at the age of 16. God was speaking to my heart. But also as a 16, one of the things that the Lord let me go through was a car accident. And in that car accident, me and my twin was riding, and we was going to my brother-in-law's house, and I had a fiber formula. It's a 77, and it was a piece of Swiss cheese, but I paid for it. It was mine, so I was proud of the thing. But we was faithful at church, and we was teenagers that we went visiting, so winning and things. So it wasn't, you know, when it was the rebel end of the thing. We was doing what we should do. And we was about a mile away from where my brother-in-law lived. And at this point, my brother-in-law, he was the oldest, older than my older, he married my older sister, who's 13 years older than I am. And we was going to his house. And you know what, my brother-in-law, he went to Bible school. But he backslid. And he got away from God. Started smoking, started drinking. Long hair came. And God chastises his own. God wants to get a hold of his own. Why? Because he loves him. And that night, as we was going, we was about a mile away from his house. And we hit and killed a boy. On a highway, dark road. The boy was wearing dark clothes, no reflector. There was two boys there. We never saw the first, the other one, but the other one I hit, and he died. And it broke me. State Patrol said, hey, yes, I know this boy. He's got a report already. He's got a bad report already. And the policeman was just talking to the parent, to my parents and things like that. And, you know, just kind of broke me because that boy is 13 years old. And that boy probably went to hell. It kind of broke me to realize, hey, there's a lot more people going to hell. What you going to do? You need to start telling people about that. Broke me. The broken is usable. The broken is what God uses. You know, when someone is proud, God drops the hammer. It crushes. Why? Because that's what he broke. Broken and contrite heart. So that was one example or one thing that happened. And a week later, his friend came to church, not the friend that was riding with, but one of his friends that knew him came and got saved. You know, God's not only concerned about the lost or about his own and chastising them and get him back with God. But he's concerned that the lost will get saved. He's willing that none should perish. Both those things happened. God chastised my brother-in-law. And my sister said, Mac, that's my name that everybody knows me by. God's working in my husband's life. And I said, great, thanks. And about a year later, a year and a few months later, on December 23rd, I had a mini stroke. And I didn't know what it was. My parents didn't know what it was. We thought it was some kind of a sickness. I was 17 years old. I just laid on the couch, and in the morning I started feeling better. It was December 29th. And so we went through Christmas, and everything just seemed to be going fine and getting better. A little slow. So we thought it was just some kind of sickness, 17-year-old. But when you have a mini stroke, a lot of times the master stroke is coming. So the 28th of December, we was taking down lights in our house, Mom and Dad's house, and I had a master stroke. I didn't know what it was at that time. But I told my mom, I said, I'm not feeling good again. And she said, well, just go to your room. And, trying to get stuff done, I mean, this ain't going to help. And so I understand that. Every parent understands that. And so I tried to get up, and my legs were like jelly. And so I need to help to the back room. And my mom said, if you're not doing better, by time Dad gets home, we'll take you to the hospital. So they took me to the hospital, and they did a spinal tap. And the verdict was, it's a virus. And so they sent me back home, but I wasn't getting any better. And so that morning, my parents took me to our family doctor. He's an older man, very wise in what he's doing. And he looked and he told my parents, he said, your son, he might have a tumor. You better get him to the hospital. I'm going to check him in the Jewish hospital down the street. And they did. And it's a good thing we got in that way. But about a half an hour after I got in there, I went into a coma. And from December the 29th to January the 18th, I don't remember a thing. But I got a scar back here to know something happened. And what happened, they found out that it was a massive stroke that took place. And they did an MRI, and then they did a CAT scan, and then an MRI. And they found out, and they told my parents, they said, your son is dying. There's nothing we can do for him. There's one thing, we can do brain surgery, but we don't know that's going to work. We don't know that's going to turn out. And, but the doctor said if we don't do it, he will die. If we do it, he might turn out to be a vegetable. And so they did the surgery, and I'm still here. but the master stroke, I had to learn how to walk again, talk again, use my head, my hands, and shave, and do all those things. The broken is what God uses. And God did that for a few reasons. One was, I believe the Jews are God's people. And he let me go there. And I got to talk to a lawyer. You know, a 17-year-old punk. Getting to talk to a 40-year-old or whatever it was. A lawyer. But you know what? I got that opportunity. And I got to share gospel with him. I don't know if he ever got to heaven or got saved, but someday I'll know. Dr. Rosen was his name. But also, my brother-in-law, the one God's working on, the ones God's not going to let go, just like Jacob. Not going to let go until he gets the thing right. He's going to chastise. My brother-in-law worked 15 minutes away from where that hospital was. Every night he came up to the hospital. And God was working in his heart. You know, today, he's a pastor in Texas. El Paso, Texas. It's just awesome. I just wanted to share that with you because there's some circumstances and things God allows in our life for a reason. And I'm telling you those things because I'm looking back. But when you're going through them, be close to God. Because if you're not close to God, you're going to get bitter instead of getting better. And so in life's voyage, we need to listen to God's spokesman. In life's voyage, we need to be close to God. In life's voyage, we need to remember God made us to break us. That's when we're usable. Let's look at the last thing over here in verse 41. The Bible says, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken," there's our word, "with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, the soldier, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose." God has people in certain places, and He helps and protects. And this is exactly what happened to Paul. There's certain circumstances you think you're in and you don't know how you're going to get out. But God's already got that planned. We need to live by faith. The Bible says here that he kept him from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And look at what the Bible says in verse 44. Here's our word again. "And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship." When we're whole, like the Apostle Paul, God don't get the glory. But when He gives you the thorn in your flesh, He said, "Paul, through your weakness, I'm strong." That's what God wants. He wants to be seen. He wants the glory. And we need to give it to Him. In life's voyage, we need to listen to God's spokesman. In life's voyage, we need to be close to God. In life's voyage, we need to remember God made us to break us. Why? Because we're more usable then. That ship couldn't save. We read it. And the only way that ship was going to save them and the position they was at, it's for that ship to get stuck. And you say, "Wow, we're in trouble now." But it breaks apart and we're in even worse trouble. But Paul said, "Jump out and get on the boards. And they'll get you safe to land." But why could Paul say that? Because he had God's promise that no one was going to be hurt. No one is going to lose even the hair on their head. God is good. Let's look at our life's voyage that God has allowed us to have. And let's remember those three things that we need to keep close to us. Why? Because our voyage is long. It's rough. But God will see us through it. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you this question. Is there someone here today to say, "If I died, I'm not sure if I will go to heaven"? Is there someone like that? If you're like that, you don't know where you're going to go. Can I see your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call your name. I don't even know your name. God wants you to be saved. He died for you so you could be saved. Is there someone like that? Secondly, I want to ask this question. If you're saved, has God spoken in your heart? God spoke in your heart. Can I see your hand? Oh, pray for you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I want to tell you something. Very awesome. The broken is usable. You know, Jesus Christ, when he was nailed on the cross, he was broken for us. Why? So he saved our eternal souls. It's good. We're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Before we pray, why don't you stand? And if God spoke in your heart, you do what God wants you to do. We're going to have a word of prayer and have an invitation. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you've done. And Lord, the Apostle Paul, when he was talking to King Agrippa and Festus, this morning he said, and I didn't read this, but this morning he's telling us, I believe in verse 24, he said, Festus, I'm not mad. He said, Festus, I'm speaking the words of truth and soberness. Lord, tonight, I'm speaking the words of truth and soberness. We have a valuable, most valuable Word of God, and we need to get to the lost. But we as Christians need to live by it also. Lord, you didn't just save us so we can go to heaven. But you saved us and gave us a guidebook. You gave us something that's going to help us. We thank you for your love. Pray you have your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.